Hello, Rebels. My name is Chloe Corbett, a.k.a. the Duchess of Justice, and with me I have...
Attorney Augustus Corbett, a.k.a. the Minister of Justice.
We are the Defiant Lawyers. We provide you legal analysis of trending politics, policies, personalities, and pop culture to empower you to defy an unjust legal system. Before we get into today's video, please don't forget to hit that like button, smash the subscribe button, and share this video with your family and friends so that they too can become legal rebels. With that, Dad, what is up and what is our topic for today?
Well, how are you, Chloe? I'm doing well. We're going to talk about Travis Scott today. What an unfortunate debacle that occurred in Houston just a little while ago. So we're going to give our opinion and talk about it a little bit. You know, we really grieve for all the lives that are lost and lives that have that are changed forever. So we're going to look at it from a legal perspective today.
Yes, let's go ahead and get into it.
We'll be right back after this short break.
All right. So today we are going to be discussing Travis Scott and the tragedy that occurred last Friday in Houston at his Astroworld Festival. Unfortunately, 8 people lost their lives and countless more were injured. And first, we just want to start with describing who is Travis Scott. I'm sure a lot of our listeners before this tragedy have never heard who he is. So just to give a brief bio on him, he is a 30-year-old rapper from Houston. His birth name is Jack Webster, and he has won multiple music awards and sold millions of albums across the world and streaming on Spotify, Apple, etc. And one thing that he's known for are his crazy concerts. He is known for his crazy live performances, being very involved with the crowd, kind of raging the crowd on. And that's why a lot of his fans are Gen Z and millennials, my age group. He's really built up a fan base because of his concerts. And his most known album is from 2018, in which it's coincidentally named Astroworld. And that title is where he got the name of his festival that has been going on in Houston for over 3 years now. So Astroworld, all it is a music festival. He invites various rappers and other artists to come perform at this festival. And it's been going on since 2018. However, he was not able to do his festival in 2020. So he actually did a Fortnite virtual event. And once again, he a lot of his young fans were able to watch him live, and he built up that fan base even more. So he is very, very, very popular with young kids, with teens, with people in their early 20s because of his style of rap and because of the way that he performs with his concerts. Had you heard of Travis Scott before this, Dad?
I can't say that I have. I probably have, all right, but I can't. He's not somebody that I'm very familiar with, or even familiar with at all. You know, hey, I'm old school, right? So, yeah. It's not the type of music that I would listen to. I do remember hearing that he was married to, or dating, or had a child with, this Jenner girl, right?
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah. I think I remember that, but I still don't have, vivid memory of who he is. No, I'm not familiar with him.
Yeah. A lot of people would know him, because of his relationship with Kylie Jenner, and the child that they have, and she's actually pregnant again. So he's connected in that world as well. And like I said earlier, his concerts are known for being rowdy. His concerts are known for kind of having a rock star vibe, kind of combining the rock star antics with the rap antics and bringing that all together. So assumingly, people would know what they're getting into when they go to his concerts, because that's his brand and that's what he's known for. So I kind of want to move on into what happened this past Friday and kind of give our audience some of the facts that are coming out. And there are a lot of facts that we're learning. This is breaking news. There are multiple news reports about what happened, multiple reports on social media. So we're going to do our best to give a brief timeline before we get into the legal analysis. So last Friday, November 5th, was the first day of his Astro World Festival. And there were an estimated 50,000 people who attended this concert. Okay. And the concert was held in Houston at NRG Park Stadium, which when I lived in Houston, consequently, I could walk to the NRG Stadium. So I know exactly where this area is. And Travis, he didn't take the stage until around 9:00. But a lot of the concert goers started going there around 2:00 or in the early afternoon. And so it started getting packed very, very quickly.
And I recall seeing a breach at one part of the park where a lot of the fans had broke through security and they were rowdy coming in, quite frankly.
They were rowdy coming in. Early in the afternoon is when the rowdiness started. And so they had Houston deputies there on horseback who were not able to control the crowd. There was all sorts of law enforcement, and it really was an uncontrollable situation, 6, 7, 8 hours before Scott even got on the stage. And in fact, CNN reported that Houston Police Chief Troy Finner, before Travis went on stage, he actually told Travis, like, hey, we might want to cut this concert short and not have this concert because the crowd is uncontrollable. So, and we're going to get into, if this statement is true, how that could come into play with Travis being held civilly responsible for what happened for the deaths. So at approximately 9:00, 9:15, the crowd began to compress towards the front of the stage where Travis is now at the stage. So the people in the back started to come front and compress the front crowd goers. And this is what caused the panic. So as people were coming to the stage and compressing, the panic ensued. And that's when the people at the front began to try to move away from the stage. And that's where all this mayhem and chaos came. And unfortunately, people began to fall out. They became unconscious, and it just continued to create additional panic. There were also a lot of.
Let me, Chloe, mention one thing about Travis Scott that I think is going to be critical. And that is the fact that he was previously charged with concert related criminal charges. In other words, whipping up the crowd and all of that. He was previously charged once in 2015 and once in 2007. And reportedly he pled guilty to those charges. So as you said earlier, he has the reputation, his modus operandi is to give these, energetic, crazy, out of control type of concerts. And given that type of history, it's not good for him and for the other folks who helped put this together.
That's right. And on Friday, he even said, and I quote, "I want to see some ragers, man. Who want to rage?"
Well, he reportedly said that. I mean, we're not right. altogether certain about that, but that's what was reported.
Right. That is based on news reports. He reportedly said that.
In fact, let's just say for the record, all that we're sharing is alleged and reportedly so. We don't have any first hand accounts of this, but this is what we have, seen. We've seen the reports and heard the allegations like everyone else.
Right. These are all allegations. These are all reports. We were not there firsthand. We're just getting our information based on what the news outlets are reporting. So there were eight people lost their lives. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner said that the dead range in age from 14 to young adults. And they're still trying to determine the cause of deaths. for these people. So our prayers go out to the families of these victims. Our prayers go out to the families of the hundreds of people who were injured. But now let's move into the legal analysis. And Dad, based on everything that you've read so far, the news reports, who do you think are the potential defendants for these lawsuits?
There are quite a few. From what I, from my research, I don't know anything about promoting a concert like this. You know, I'm not an entertainment lawyer, so I don't have the details about that. But based on my research, there are quite a few folks who could be held accountable, liable, legally liable for this. And the list would include Travis Scott himself, obviously, since it's his show. He's the talent that's there. He's the rapper. I understand that Drake reportedly made a cameo appearance and maybe did a little performance on stage as well, or was in some part involved in this concert. A company, an Austin-based company called Score More, I think they may have had some parts to do with the promotion of this concert. They could be a defendant. So thus far, Travis Scott, Drake could be defendants. Score More could be defendants. Also, Live Nation is, their names are being reported as well. Paradox Worldwide Incorporated is another potential defendant. And others. I mean, I can't name them all because there are a bunch of folks involved in this type of thing. Maybe even the city of Houston. So there are a number of people who could be named in the lawsuits that are coming, and a bunch of them have already been filed, and more are certainly on the way. And by the way, 8 people have reportedly died so far. However, I read this morning that there are 2 other people who are in very grave, very critical situations. One of them doesn't have brain activity. So his family, her family, actually, I think it's a her, they're trying to decide what to do with that situation. There is a kid from the Dallas area, actually, who reportedly was trampled under the feet of a lot of the concert goers, and he is in a medically induced coma right now from brain injury and so forth. 8-year-old kid, I believe he's 8 years old, here from the Dallas area. My heart goes out to him and his family. And one of the decedents is from Fort Worth. Just wanted to mention him since he's a home person here. And I saw his family, various family members on TV demanding justice and accountability here. Our heart goes out to them. One of the family members said that you go to a concert to have fun, not to die. So all of these defendants, Chloe, could be held accountable for what's going on, for what happened at that concert.
Yes. And just like you said, there's been numerous lawsuits that have already been filed in Harris County. And Travis Scott, I reportedly, has been named in almost all of them. Score More has been named as a defendant as well as Live Nation. And that leads us into what would be the cause of action against these defendants and potential defendants to come. Could you explain that to the rebels?
Yes, I will. That could vary as well. Certainly negligence, wrong for death, potentially premise liability. That could just depend. For the most part, I would think that it will be for the decedents, their families will file wrong for death lawsuits based on negligence. Premise liability, there a number of different causes of action could come to play here. And You know, we discussed in a previous video that negligence requires that someone, number one, has a duty to behave in a certain way, and they breach that duty, and the breach of that duty caused someone's damages or even death. So the plaintiffs would need to show those four elements in any negligent suit. And just based on all that is coming out about this matter, it seems like there is a lot of evidence to show negligence. Now, let me ask you a question. You being a millennial, some of this stuff I don't understand. You know, the concert, for example, I understand that they had these things called mosh pits. I have some idea what those are. I think I've seen those with more associated with rock bands. But are those, now I'm getting ready probably to expose my ignorance here and my age, but but is a mosh pit where someone sort of falls into a crowd and they, you know, push them up and kind of pass the person along? Is that a mosh pit?
Well, the mosh pit is really where people stand. There, it's a lot of people packed in one spot, and they're standing close to the stage. And then a lot of artists will then fall into the crowd, and the crowd will carry their body throughout.
But
the crowd,
yeah, that's what I was saying. Concert. That's what I was saying. That's exactly what I have in mind about a mosh pit.
Yeah. Well, the act of falling back is not really called the mosh pit. The mosh pit is the crowd of people that are at the bottom, kind of dancing around, raging out, basically. That's okay. What you really do in the mosh pit. And then a lot of artists, when they're on stage, they'll then fall into the crowd, and the crowd will carry their body throughout. Okay. Throughout the crowd.
Yeah, okay. I've seen that. I've seen that, yeah. Associated with headbangers, you know, the rock, you know, artists, yeah. And sometimes even the skinhead, white supremacist rock bands, you know, just kind of go get into a frenzy. And so, yeah.
Well, rappers do it too.
Rappers do it too.
As we see with Travis Scott. Yeah.
And so that was kind of his hallmark, I guess.
That's what he was known for. Kinetic type energy.
So the people who attended the concert, they came knowing that it would be that type of energy.
You could assume so, especially the older people. Now, for the children, they may have just wanted to see Travis Scott because they saw him on Fortnite. His Fortnite virtual event was huge. It reached millions, maybe even hundreds of millions of kids through Fortnite, which is a popular video game that a lot of kids and adults play.
Well, I was getting ready to ask you to tell the audience what Fortnite is. I have no idea what that is.
Fortnite has just taken over the world. It's a video game that you can kind of build up towns. You can fight against people. It's an animated game, very, very, very popular. I don't play it, but my godson plays it, or he used to play it, and a lot of other children play it, and even adults play it. So he had a virtual concert on that game in which a huge kind of like 3D animation of him gave an actual concert live. And anyone who was on the game could watch that concert live. Yeah. Yeah. So he reached a lot of kids that way. So his fans, they would know the type of energy that he has and the way that he performs. And that kind of leads us into our next topic, which if we try to put ourselves as defense attorneys, we represent plaintiffs, but as defense attorneys, we might, you know, try to use the legal doctrines of either assumption of risk or contributory negligence. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I was headed. If some of the concert goers knew going in that this would be a rowdy, sort of out of control, chaotic concert, would the defense attorneys, the insurance defense attorneys, try and make that as a defense? So yes, I can guarantee you that they will try to use that as a defense. And the question then will become whether or not the jury, if it goes to a jury, would decide, you know, how much negligence, if any, should be apportioned to the to whoever filed the lawsuit, to any plaintiff. I think it's a weak argument. I mean, because you're not going to be going to a concert to get trampled on or expecting the crowd, you know, to, as you said, compress everything up front and create this place up there that is obviously now we see gravely dangerous. You don't go to concert expecting that, you know, wilding out and having some fun and even the mosh pit, you know, thing doesn't typically result in death. But, you know, when you got Travis Scott and some of the others, you know, ginning up the crowd and reportedly has said in the past, you know, everybody kind of come up front, you know. So if he and others are directing the flow of the crowd like that and telling them to come up front and so forth, and then there are not enough employees to try and control that, not enough safety measures to try to control that. I mean, you're waiting. You're asking for trouble.
Yeah, that is true. And I just want to let our audience know, here in Texas, so there's kind of different theories of negligence. There's contributory negligence, which is where if the defendant can show that the plaintiff was even 1% at fault, then the plaintiff can't recover for any damages. But here in Texas, we are more of a comparative negligence state, which means that the plaintiff can seek damages from the defendant. But if the defendants can prove that the plaintiff was over 50% at fault for the accident, for their damages, then the plaintiffs cannot recover. So I imagine that these insurance companies, for the defendants, defense attorneys, they're going to be trying to argue, well, one, the concert goers knew what they were going into. They assumed the risk of coming to our event. And two, because people were pushing towards the front of the concert, engaging in this raging activities, that they're more than 50% at fault for their damages.
Well, we're going to debate that in our the verdict section. So let's save our comments on that until we get to that part of this.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to debate that. We're gonna debate whether or not the concert goers were contributory negligent or not. All right.
That sounds good.
Okay. So now, not only negligence, Chloe, or contributory negligent, there may be also some gross negligence here. When there is wanton, what the law says, there's wanton disregard for life, there may be some gross negligence. And if so, then the plaintiffs can get punitive damages. Not just compensatory damages, but punitive damages. In other words, some money to punish the defendants. And I think that comes into play. I think that will come into play based on reports of that the concert continued even after people were hurt and had got trampled upon, and even after some folks, I saw one or two people jumping on the stage begging for them to stop the show and help people. And it reportedly they continued the concert some 30, 40 minutes even after, you know, the ambulances were in the crowd trying to help people. They still on stage performing. That is a strong argument for gross negligence.
It is. It is. I think that the victims' attorneys have a lot to work with the plaintiffs, because this whole timeline in this social media age, everything was recorded. There are videos, and news outlets have put detailed timelines of exactly what happened, showing concert goers on videos through their social media and other reports. So based on the timeline that is reported, Travis Scott actually noticed that someone had passed out in the crowd and he called for a medic to come help that person. Yet, once the person was removed from the crowd, he continued the concert for reportedly about 40 more minutes. And then other concert goers reported that they were trying to notify security. They were trying to notify Travis, notify the organizers that something is wrong, that people are losing their lives, passing out, having serious injuries. And yet the yet the concert continued until a state of disaster was issued. So I think that there are a lot of good evidence based on the social media reports of concert goers that this may be gross negligence, that there was just wanton disregard for these concert goers' lives.
Yes, I think you're right. There is a very strong argument for gross negligence here. Now, I think another question that a lot of people have is whether or not there will be criminal charges brought against Travis Scott or any of the other folks. And let me just explain that as far as the deaths that were caused, Texas homicide statute has four types of deaths that are homicides that someone can be criminally charged for. One is capital murder. That's where the death penalty is on the table. Second is murder, you know, where there's actual malice, where there is intentional behavior, intentional conduct, And then there's manslaughter under Texas law. And all of these situations would come under Texas law. You know, the analysis that we've provided in the past have been in other states, like when we talked about the Ahmaud Arbery murder trial, that's Georgia. When we talked about Kyle Rittenhouse, that's what, Wisconsin. This time we're in Texas. We're on our home turf. We know the law here, okay? And so we can tell you definitively what the law states about various parts of this type of case. So again, capital murder, murder, manslaughter, that's where there's some recklessness, okay? And that kind of gets back to this gross negligence thing, right? This wanton disregard for life. So with respect to the manslaughter potential charge, was it reckless for any of the potential defendants to have this many people without adequate or sufficient staff, without having, you know, ginning up the crowd? You know, as you said, it's reported that he was like, I want to see, what was that word you use?
Some ragers.
Some ragers. You know, kind of encouraging people, you know, get crazy, get wild. Was that recklessness? You know, so the prosecutors got something to work with here. And then the fourth type of homicide here in Texas is criminally negligent homicide. And that's based on negligence, as the name implies. So capital murder, nah. Murder, no. Manslaughter, maybe. Doubtful. Criminally negligent homicide, again, maybe. A stronger maybe than the manslaughter. But typically, as we said with other cases like this, typically criminal charges are not barred. They just typically in these types of cases, just let them play out in the civil courts, unless there is some intentional behavior. All right. And yes, there's intentional behavior in the sense of intentionally ginning up the crowd, you know, demanding some ragers and rush the stage. That's intentional. But when I say intentional, what the law means is the result intentional? is the the result of the deaths. Was that intentional? Or the injuries, the many, many injuries. Now, sometimes intent definitions include not just intent, but knowing behavior. If you do something and know that something is likely to happen, or you're conscious of something likely to happen, then all that can also be a part of intentional behavior. But again, the chances are pretty slim that charges will be brought against Travis Scott, against Drake, and any of the other defendants. But you never say never.
Yeah, and the Houston PD and sheriffs, it's reported that they're still doing an investigation. So I'm sure they're gathering up as much evidence, as much media as they can with their investigation. I'm speaking to witnesses. There were at least 50,000 people there, 50,000 plus. So this is probably going to be a pretty intense investigation, especially based on public pressure and how the public feels about it down there in Houston. This has not been received well from news reports I've seen and being on social media by people, especially because Travis Scott is known for inciting these type of antics, the raging. I think that's what has people more upset than anything. So basically, it's more to be expected, unfortunately, because based on his behavior versus someone going to a concert where the artist is not known for raging the crowd on and then something tragic happens. So I think that's why a lot of people in the public are upset about this. And there's also something else that has caused people a lot of angst, and that is the alleged demonic imagery that Travis Scott has incorporated in his concerts. People, especially people on social media and TikTok, and even some news reports, have analyzed various symbols that he has on his flyers and his stage. His stage was made in the shape of a cross, and it was upside down. So people have alleged that may have some demonic intentions. He has, the third eye in his concert flyers. That's kind of known for being not the occult, but kind of a spiritual, but a different type of spiritual in some cultures. And so there's just various symbols and symbols that have been analyzed to where people feel that he is putting out demonic imagery. So that's something else that to look into as well.
I think also the fact that he is a rapper, rappers don't have the very best reputation amongst certain groups of Americans. So one would ask, would there be as much intense focus and outrage if this was a rock band, a rock group? I mean, this has happened before. This is not the first time this type of thing has happened. So one must wonder, if this was a white rock band, would there be as much outrage and so forth? Well, certainly there would be from those who lost family members. Of course, they don't care whether this is a rocker or rapper or anyone else. They've lost a loved one, and their grief and heartbreak is righteous, at all times. And the injured parties, no question about it, like the young 18-year-old kid who's fighting for his life, and the other young woman that I mentioned who's fighting for her life. So they could care less. But some of the talking heads out here, some of the media outlets, I'm talking about those folks. Would they be as intensely focused on this if this was not a rapper and this was a white group, a white rock group?
That's a fair question and a fair point.
Yes.
Very fair.
Okay, so, well, we're coming. I'm sorry, you had another thought?
I didn't have another thought. I was about to say, let's get into the verdict.
Okay, that's what I was about to say. Let's take it on. All right, let's do this. Maybe my favorite part.
Me too. So for people who are just viewing our video, this is a section of our videos called The Verdict, where my dad and I will argue or debate two different positions, and we will leave it to our viewers and our community to decide who won the debate in the comments. So once we finish the debate and you finish watching this video, write down in the comments who you thought won. So I will take the position. Did you want to?
Well, I just definitely want to say that whatever position we take does not mean that that is the position that we actually hold in real life.
Right.
We do the verdict just to make it even more interesting, you know.
Right.
I learned in law school. I remember we were having this appellate advocacy contest. It was about 200 students, and by the way, I should have won first place, but I ended up in third place out of 200 students. That's not bad, all right? But I was disappointed that I didn't take first place. I should have took first place. A young lawyer by the name of Joshua Didlake, who's actually from here, from the Texas area here, took first place. And so anyway, I learned in law school, sometimes as a lawyer, you take a position that you really – in your heart may not agree with, but you still, you know, have the job, the responsibility, the duty to advocate zealously for your client. So that is nonetheless true here in the verdict section here. We don't necessarily agree with what we're going to be arguing, or we may, but don't assume that we do.
Exactly. This is just for entertainment purposes, to try to kind of show what we do as lawyers in a courtroom every day. So the position that I'm going to take is that the concert goers who were injured bear some responsibility for their injuries. So I am going to be playing the role of a civil defense attorney, or someone who's going to be defending these defendants.
I'm glad you took that position. Man, I don't want that position. But I would have taken it, but I'm glad you took it. I'm glad you took it. So have at it. So since you took the more difficult position, you go first.
Okay. So we'll get started right after this. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Chloe Corbett. I represent Mr. Travis Scott, and before I get into my argument, I first want to say that we are deeply saddened for the loss of life at Mr. Scott's concert, as well as all of the concert goers who were injured. We offer our sincere and heartfelt thoughts and prayers for the families. But however, under Texas law, Your Honor, Texas is a comparative negligence state, which says that when a plaintiff is more than 50% responsible for his or her injuries, then the defendant cannot be held liable. And that's what should be applied in Mr. Scott's case. Mr. Scott should not be held liable for the tragic loss of life and injuries to the people who came to his concert. Mr. Scott is known for having lively concerts. He's known for interacting with his fans, for loving his fans, for wanting to put on a good show for his fans. And when his fans and the plaintiffs came to his concert, they knew what they were getting into. They knew the type of concert and the type of event that Mr. Scott put on. And Your Honor, we will argue that not only did they come to the concert knowing that, they also assumed the risk of what could happen when you come to a crowded place with tens of thousands of people. Now, Mr. Scott is performing. He was not responsible for crowd control. He was not responsible for any safety measures. He was there to put on a good show for the people who paid to see him. So we would ask that the court dismiss the plaintiff's claims under Texas comparative negligence law and under the principle of assumption of risk. Thank you.
All right. So, Your Honor, may it please the court, counsel. So let me make sure I understand what opposing counsel has said here. She's arguing that her defendant is not responsible for the deaths of 8 people, for the multiple injuries of hundreds of people, because they knew the type of concert that her client would be sponsoring, would be giving. A chaotic, rowdy, out of control concert. They knew it. They knew that. Therefore, they should have stayed away, brought their own security. I don't know. I don't follow the logic of that argument. And the reason I can't follow the logic of that argument, Your Honor, is because it's illogical. Here are the facts. Facts are Travis Scott brought these people to a concert that he performed at. It's he's the performer, he's the rapper, he's the talent, he's the guy, he's the one. He's the one that's going to get the biggest bag of money. He's the dude. So they're coming to see him. Opposing counsel cannot dismiss him as just a performer or as a part of the concert. Those people came to see Travis Scott perform. And she just simply dismisses the fact that Mr. Scott has, as we've shown, has prior history of ginning up the crowd, getting the crowd going crazy. He pled guilty to 2 previous charges of getting the crowd chaotic. And knowing that he does that type of concert makes it even more important that he has adequate staff, because he knows what they're going to do. He knows what he's going to tell them to do. He knows what he's going to motivate them to do. He knows the emotions that he's going to generate in his concerts. So he should go way above the call of duty to have adequate folks there. He should also, as soon as he caught wind that there was some problems, he should have stopped the show and made sure that his loyal, faithful fans were okay. Instead, he put the show, he put profits above the health of these people who came to his concert. And as a result of that, as a result of him ginning up the crowd, as a result of him it's not reported. We were able to get it on the record. As a result of him saying, "I want some ragers. I want you to get full of rage and all of this." As a result of all of that, 8 people lost their lives and hundreds of others are injured, and several are still hanging on to their lives by a thin thread. And so now to come back and blame those people for their own deaths and injuries when he's obviously the one who's motivating all of that mayhem. As I said earlier, it's illogical. And dare I say, some of the family members would probably find it offensive. You do not go to a concert, in the words of one of the family members, to get trampled on and die. You go to a concert to have fun. We would ask the court to find that Mr. Scott is 100% liable for all that went on and all that occurred at his Astral Worlds concert. Thank you.
Your Honor, just a brief rebuttal to opposing counsel's arguments. opposing counsel described our defense as illogical. That's incorrect. In fact, under Texas law, it is allowable. Texas law allows defendants to put on a defense that the plaintiff should not recover for any alleged damages when they are over 50% at fault for their damages. And that was the case here. Mr. Scott was not responsible for any safety measures. Mr. Scott was not responsible for safety control, for crowd control. Scoremore was responsible for crowd control. Houston PD was responsible for crowd control and safety measures. Mr. Scott was there to put on an amazing show for his fans who came from all over Texas and the country to see him perform. And that's what he did, and that's what he intended to do. Unfortunately, the fans, when they came to his concert, they knew what they would be getting themselves into. So even though we are extremely sympathetic and saddened by the tragic loss of life in this case and the injuries to other people, Mr. Scott cannot be held liable for those alleged damages under Texas law. And we would ask that you would find Mr. Scott not liable for any loss of life or damages in this case. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. So there you have it. You all decide who you think won that argument. Once again, I want to say and just stress that we do not necessarily embrace the arguments that we made. In this case, I just so happen to embrace my argument. I'm sure Chloe doesn't, but
not at all.
But
Lord,
you did a great job arguing it, though. I got to give it to you, especially when it was something that you didn't actually believe in. That's some of the hardest argument to make when you really don't believe in it. But you did a great job. You all, please let us know who you think won that debate.
Let us know. Thank you for checking out our video today. Let us know your thoughts down below. What do you think about this tragic event? Before you hit the X on this video, please like this video. Subscribe to our channel. We have a lot more content coming out, a lot more different types of content. And don't forget to share this so that your family and friends, they too can become a part of the Legal Rebel community. And with that, we will say goodbye.
Goodbye.